the world dominant group, which would be a money-based group out of England, New York, and so forth, has called it quits with China. They just haven't announced it yet. That's what I think.
You may be well be right there. I mean, I look upon the US and China, not as they're not really similar places to live. They're very different cultures.
Right.
But are, I think, both very much controlled in different ways.
Yes, they are.
And the spider in the middle of the web with both of those countries is a guy who lives at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York. And his name is Henry Kissinger.
Right.
And he has lines into both sides here. In fact, one of the things he's done over the years is he's made fantastic amounts of money by brokering deals between China and the US, technology going one way or the other way. And he always makes sure that if a war was to break out between the two, that both of them would be supplied with as much weapons as it takes to make lots and lots of money out of, so that the battle would go on and on, rather than one side would win quickly. So Henry Kissinger, I think, he's getting on. He's getting very old now, and I think his big old swan song could be a third world war between the two. Now, I realise that there's a lot of sabre rattling goes on, and that something like that many people would think it's unthinkable. But we're in a scenario now, particularly with the murder of Soleimani, the general over in
right.
the Iranian general in Iraq,
right.
where the tensions are palpable. We've got the Israelis bombing Syria now whenever they feel like it. It doesn't even make the news, and killing people, destroying things in northern Syria. So if anything was to break out in the Middle East, I think this is what we're looking at, is that you'd get a scenario where the Russians are already down there.
Right.
So they would obviously be embroiled pretty much straight away. And they could be, as soon as the Americans come in even further behind the Israelis, the Russians and the Americans fighting, the Chinese will then get involved. And then you've got the two big superpowers. This is a scenario which was set out by Albert Pike all those many years ago.
Yes, yeah, Third World War pitting the Muslims against the Christians.
Absolutely. Well, actually, the Zionists against the Muslims, because you've got the Zionist Jews and the Zionist Christians. Now, I would suggest that neither of those are really being faithful to the love thy neighbor message, you know,
well,
or even, you know, the Old Testament. Ten Commandments. What they're doing is they are trying to usurp those faiths in order to get them to sort of fight each other, and then to create a real distrust of and even more of a hatred of religion, as well as make actually a lot of money out of a war. And the main purpose, I think, behind all of this is really geopolitical. So it's in order to shift boundaries, resources, and also to grab power, because the big thing that comes out of a war is you get a police state too, so you can totally control your population. We've already seen that happening, haven't we, really, with the lockdowns. I think the most interesting thing about it all is the use of masks. Things like, you know, in the UK we're about to have it so you cannot get on public transport without a mask. You're not allowed to go into a hospital without a mask on.
Okay.
But of course that will all stop once you've had the vaccine.
Right.
Even though there's with the existing vaccines, we don't, you know, one of my friends here that I live with, I was just chatting to her earlier on today, she says, oh, well, I always have the flu vaccine, but every year I still catch the flu. We're being told potentially this is going to be a vaccine that we have to have, otherwise we're going to have to go around with a mask on all the time. And that, to me, is the way it's all going to pan out, George. It's going to be done by coercion, so people just get fed up with wearing a mask the whole time and give in and have the vaccine. And I think there will be a vaccine along at some point.
Yeah.
It's just I don't want to have it personally myself, because I don't trust them. I'd much rather have
I don't trust vaccines either. I think you could get sicker with a vaccine by taking it than not taking it, you know?
I think that, listen, the thing I would do with a vaccine is I would like to have a discussion with my GP, with my general practitioner, sit down, discuss it, and then I will decide for myself whether I want it or not. I'm not going to be coerced into anything. Sometimes I think a vaccine might be the right thing to do.
Right.
But certainly not to be coerced in this.
Well, you could wait a few weeks and let other people take it and then see if there's a reaction that's real bad.
Well, I tell you what, if everyone takes it, then the disease will die out, and then I won't have to.
Right. Now there's something happening at the World Economic Forum called the Great Reset that's going to happen next January in Davos. And they're going to take the Economic Forum and mate it with environmental issues. That's the latest thing over there. Called the Reset.
Yes, it's a long way. future, but this is all Prince Charles, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. He's right in the middle of this. He is.
We've got loads going on with him, George.
Yeah.
I did a show last night about Prince Charles, and it's interesting. Death surrounds him. Of course, he's had two former partners, well, a wife and a former partner who both died in mysterious circumstances, an Australian, Kanga, and then, of course, much better known is Princess Diana.
Right.
But he's also had a whole series of deaths up at Highgrove and at Camilla's house. There was one of their police protection officers that apparently killed himself, although many people say that they didn't think he was the sort of person who would do that. And I mean, this is the problem, is we're looking now at the potential of the Queen retiring at the age of 95.
Right.
Okay, so that is next April. And
okay.
What's going to happen then? I mean, there were leaks at the end of last year saying, oh, well, you know what's going to happen. I'll tell you what's going to happen, is the Prince, she's going to retire, and Prince Charles is going to take over as Prince Regent. You know, this is quite a powerful job, because it means you're above the law. You know, you can't be arrested.
Oh, my gosh.
As a witness. Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who are above the law in reality, George. Like, police officers don't ever seem to be properly prosecuted over here, and that same sort of thing happens in the States, I know.
Yeah, that happens.
But,
sometimes.
You know, this opposition, and I personally, I'm not sure that Charles is going to take over, because I think there's quite a lot of feeling in the establishment that because he wants to bring in a kind of a multi-faith, that is to say that he will have something called, it will be called reincarnation rather than resurrection.
Really?
Ourselves rather than praying to God. You know, so there's going to be a whole load of changes in the faith, because basically he is not a Christian. He's a multi-faith person. And I don't think the establishment really wants that. And so what we might well see is him taking a role on the world stage, like at the World Economic Forum, for example, as you say.
Right.
Maybe it will skip straight to Prince William.
The real powers like Prince William, don't they?
Well, I was just reading something today that apparently Prince Charles has got very annoyed with Prince William, and he doesn't let him use his special house up at Balmoral anymore.
Really?
A constant drama about his family, because there's so much backstabbing goes on. I mean, you know, to say nothing of Harry and Meghan being spun out of the whole situation by Harry being whisked off to Vancouver and then down to LA, away from the situation, and also, of course, the character assassination of Prince Andrew, and I mean, he's the only person that's really suffered because of the Epstein revelations, but of course there are hundreds of other people who are rich and powerful who visited Epstein who should be named, but they haven't been named. You have to ask yourself, why not? Well, Andrew was made an example of, and everyone else who went to see Epstein is now nervous, biting their nails, say, I don't want to end up like Andrew. So they're very much behaving themselves. And it was, of course, a blackmail operation he was running. But so this place in Balmoral where...
For the blue bloods, right?
But anyway, Charles said that the reason he doesn't like William anymore is because he's not allowed to have as much time as Kate's parents with the two boys, you know, the little ones, Kate's. So this is what this tells me, is that William doesn't really want Charles and Camilla around his kids.
That's right. I bet you that's it.
Think about Charles's very close relationship with Jimmy Savile, for example.
You can understand,
be a little bit nervous.
You hit the nail on the head there, Tony.
And I find it fascinating because they've got actually quite a lot more power than people realise. But listen, another thing we must mention, George, here is the whether or not this COVID-19 is man-made or not. And if it is, where's it come from? Because Richard Dearlove, the Bilderberg ex-head of MI6, has just come out and said he definitely believes it was man-made.
Yeah, it is. Francis Borrell, who is a world authority in this area, and also Henry Nieman, testifies on radio programs, and they have the coding all down. It was SARS. It had an HIV component. Possibly a TB strand was in there. But it's dangerous for certain people with respiratory dispositions that are bad. Okay? which being older, yeah. the elderly.
The underlying
conditions. Yeah.
Yeah. But the kids can't really catch it. This is the interesting
thing.
Well,
the immune system, you know, if you have a strong immune system, you can have an episode, but it's a milder one than some older people that could die, because in these retirement homes is where they died off a lot, dozens.
Look, the problem is, okay, so the thing that I find so most interesting about this pandemic, number one, is the way that the World Health Organization were bullied into calling it a pandemic in the first place.
Yes.
At the same time it was called pandemic in March, in Britain we downgraded it away from being a pandemic down to a less dangerous disease. And yet, if the reason it was forced into becoming a pandemic was because this triggers a whole load of laws, particularly in the United States, to allow much more federal control and destruction of civil liberties. That's why I think it was made into become a pandemic. But also, the censorship has been unbelievable, George. I mean, really, on the mainstream press, we're getting a whole load of one-sided nonsense almost 24/7. And loads of the really good, the very, very best of the analysts and the experts who are being critical of the lockdown, who are being critical of government policy of various sorts, have literally been, as they start to become very, very successful, like tens or hundreds of thousands of hits on YouTube, etc., YouTube is just yanking them. It's absolutely obvious to me.
Yes, and Amazon took off a book too that on COVID-19 they didn't want out either. They had to go put it back up just recently.
Well, when you start seeing this systematic censorship,
yeah.
When you start seeing strategic news stories coming out in order to try and squash, for example, we had a bit of a battle over here about whether the children should go back to school or not. Now, obviously, the parents wanted them to, the kids wanted to amazingly.
Right.
But as that debate was running in the National Parliament, so these stories came out here on all over the news about something called Kawasaki disease.
Yeah,
and they were saying, oh, it's linked to COVID-19, and it only occurs in children. Now, this is just a strategic lying. This is psychological warfare.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
It's only caused as a bad reaction to vaccines. It's nothing to do with the COVID-19 whatsoever. And yet this traveled all around Britain, all over the main news stories for 2 or 3 days around about the time of the debate. So it's very obvious to me as a journalist that the news media is being used to hoodwink people, to lie to people. The agenda is mandatory vaccination. That's really what they want. And Bill Gates obviously is behind much of this, behind Johns Hopkins University, behind Imperial College. Neil Ferguson now thankfully has been sacked, booted out as a policy advisor. And also, of course, the BBC get a lot of their funding as well from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I think Robert Kennedy in the States has done an absolutely brilliant job in just tearing apart Gates's attempts to try and pretend that he knows anything about vaccines, which he's been killing people with his vaccines for the last 20 years. What I'd really like to see, though, George, is Andrew Wakefield, who's now over in California, isn't he, have a live public debate on TV.
Yes, yes.
Bill Gates. I think Wakefield would wipe the floor with him.
I think he'd wipe him out. You bet. I think so. Yeah.
Unfortunately, our mainstream media is not going to provide that live TV debate for us because that's part of their agenda. They want to try and persuade us to all get vaccinated, which certainly anyone with half a brain cell is going to definitely think twice about that and definitely not buy into that agenda because it's an evil agenda.
Yeah.
An evil agenda to force people to take medication that they don't really need. And you know what? At the end of the day, we could be looking here at the mark of the beast down the line. The ID 2020, which Bill Gates wants to introduce, I don't know if you saw it, in his 2016 conference on 2020, he didn't. He had what looked like a Jesus on a cross up on the side of the hall that they were meeting in. Actually, it was a giant phoenix on a cross. Bill Gates playing it. What religion is he part of?
Well, they're into the occult, you know, practices. That's the problem. Oh, Bilderberg is not happening this year, right?
Well, maybe. I mean, it's last weekend, isn't it? That's when it should have been.
Yeah.
But I would suggest just gone underground, George. They've been wanting to do this for a long, long time. Let's look at where Mr. Pompeo was, you know, and all the various fanatical warmongering Zionists, the people who are behind the attempt to globalize the planet by force, by coercion. I mean, that's effectively what they want to do. And it's interesting, isn't it, to see Kissinger, obviously, is another one to watch. He would have been there, obviously. The idea really is to just stop any press scrutiny of it again by saying, oh, we're not having a meeting.
Maybe they did it by Zoom or one of these teleconferences.
No, they won't do it on a teleconference. No, definitely not. Because they have to meet face-to-face. If you're doing some sort of dodgy deal, George...
I got you.
Paranoid about Skype. Paranoid
You'd be recorded that way too easily.
To be a completely sealed off area. They have the whole place checked and double checked and triple checked for bugs, and they need to be making...
They may be delaying it for the end of the summer and then meet, see?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I think they'll be meeting, at least the steering committee, the key people will be meeting anyway.
I got you. That's probably what they've done, and they can transact enough diabolical deals, make enough diabolical deals for the rest of the year.
They'll definitely be strategizing how they can roll out this. I mean, the thing is, with the ID 2020, it really does look like this biblical mark of the beast, George. This is the idea.
Yeah, it is.
An identification that you can then use in order to kind of go back to normal. So you're going to be an Untermensch. You're going to be a lower class citizen who might be carrying the virus, might be trying to murder people around you by spreading the virus. Until you've got this ID 2020, and of course, it doesn't take much imagination to see that transpose itself into a microchip, which also can be used for financial transactions. And particularly if we have an economic collapse of some sort, you know, then we'd be looking at, this being that kind of.
They're trying to reset this financial thing.
ID paper. Yeah.
They're trying to use this as a facade to reset the financial debacle that exists too. See what I mean?
You don't have to have ID papers here in Britain. You know, there's no such thing. But this is what Bill Gates, I think, and his friends want to bring in.
Yeah, I agree.
You think
more 1984 stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I love about you Americans. I think came up with it. You Yanks came up with it, didn't you? The COVID 1984 and the brave new normal. You know,
right. Us Yanks, we get creative occasionally.
you've got great headlines. I love it.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for being with us this evening, Tony. And what do you have any closing statements? You got 30 seconds here.
Well, yeah, I think, it's just really important for us to dust off our Bibles and actually read some of this stuff. Because certainly as I was looking through what ID 2020 is, and, you know, particularly the idea of a planned pandemic.
Yes,
the idea
yes.
that can be overreacted. We've been massively overwriting the actual figures of people who are directly dying of this disease, and including loads of people who had many underlying health conditions.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Exaggeration. The point of that is by our civil liberties.
This is a destruction of Christianity and our liberties all at the same time.
But it's also evil. I think it's, you know, you've got to look at what's happened. If this is a man-made virus, releasing that out into the public is an evil act, and yet nobody seems to even want to acknowledge that fact. So whoever it is getting away with it. And we can't allow that to happen, George.
Well, thank you. I agree with you. But thank you very much, Tony, for being with us this evening. We certainly appreciate all your views and comments.
If you want, sweek.org.uk, you can still catch our stuff. Loads of links up there and various shows to listen to if you want to. And a whole load of stuff about Prince Charles. If people are interested in a bit of background about him and the various mysterious deaths that have been surrounding him over the years.
Okay. We'll put that up on the site. Thank you, Tony. Okay.
Cheers, George. God bless.
Yeah. Good night.